Okay, everyone, welcome to another edition of the Channel Drop-In. This is another session today. Delighted to be joined today by Cassandra Goldstone of PartnerTap. We'll talk a little bit more about that at the moment. But what a session we've got lined up for you today. We're going to be talking about mapping, okay? And it's a good job I'm not talking about it because I don't know an awful lot about it, which is why I brought in another amazing guest, Cassandra, who is CEO and founder of PartnerTap. Cassandra, welcome. Thank you ever so much for joining us today. Really excited to hear what you've got to say and educate, help to educate me, help to educate our listeners and viewers of the Channel Drop-In. So to start with, would you mind please just telling us a little bit about who you are, where you're from, and what you do currently, and then we'll dive into PartnerTap very shortly after that.
Yes, thanks so much for having me, Glenn. Really appreciate it. So I'm Cassandra Goldstone, CEO and founder of PartnerTap. We're an ecosystem platform, and we do data mapping for large organizations. My background actually was in sales. So I worked in sales for many years in sales leadership and had this age-old problem of really trying to understand what partners could help us make the biggest impact on our number. And answering that question was extremely difficult when you had thousands of partners you could go to market with, and every partner wanted to meet with you and spend time with you. And I can't tell you how many countless meetings I had with partners where we would come to find out we actually had no accounts in common. So I wasted a lot of hours. And, being a mother of two children, I, thought this going to these partner meetings and these happy hours all the time and really not generating the type of business that I wanted to, and that was taking me away from my family. I really said, there's got to be an application that can just map all this data together and tell me what partners I should be working with, what partners have relationships, who should I really be spending time with. And I looked for something on the Salesforce AppExchange. I was a Salesforce user for many, many years. And I couldn't find anything. And that's when I started studying the market and realized that there was a big white space. And fast forward 5 years later, companies are finding us every day on the Salesforce AppExchange. And we have customers like ADP, SAP Concur, HPE, LastPass, GoToMeeting, all using our platform to really use data to discover where opportunities lie. So exciting times for PartnerTap.
Wow. I mean, that's one of the best introductions I think I've ever had on the Channel Drop-In. Amazing. Oh. Cassandra, thank you. Amazing. Let's talk a little bit about the acceleration in the last 5 years in a moment. But let's go. We are on the Channel Drop-In. This is a foundation series. We're talking about sales on this edition. So, tell us a little bit about exactly what mapping is. Some people may know, some people's level of education knowledge will differ. So if we go right back to the foundation, right back to the basic, I guess we're talking spreadsheets, right? Is that where we are?
Yes, I've heard it. The spreadsheet game, the account list. So, we're trying to figure out our go-to-market and, the vendor ask for a list of accounts. What do you want to target? Sometimes we switch those lists around. Sometimes we don't because we're worried that the other side is going to, take all of our accounts. So the spreadsheet game, it's all over the channel. It's at the sales team level or the partner sales team level, where they're sending their territory lists to partners. And it's also on the marketing side where we're saying, hey, what accounts should we actually be marketing to? What can we get the biggest penetration with that aligns with our vendor? And people are doing this manually. And it's a really, really cumbersome process because what I call an account isn't necessarily what you call an account. And so trying to match those up takes hours. And, you know, we've got a lot of companies that, you know, get spreadsheets that have 600,000 accounts. I mean, and trying to match that with maybe your database that only has 100,000 accounts, you're going to send it to a team of either interns or, you know, some people will just do it themselves. I mean, I've heard somebody say, oh, this is my pizza and beer money, because every time I go through this, I'm finding opportunities. But I'm sitting there at night with pizza and beer doing this little game.
So this, I mean, blows my mind, right? So you, the numbers that you're talking are of course, genuine. These are examples that you have, probably things that you've been through before. But hundreds of thousands of contacts and accounts in a spreadsheet. You know, I can understand if you were telling me a story about how people used to do this manually, and those that aren't on PartnerTap still probably do. But this is still happening today, right? People are still doing this manual exercise today when we would expect this to be automated, or there'd be several opportunities to, you know, to options to choose from in order to automate this. So then you kind of go, nothing exists. A, this is crazy, and B, what can I do?
Right. Yep. And so finding a white space in a market is such a fun experience, because when you're building a technology, you really get to lay the groundwork for what this will eventually, what this will look like. Right. Yeah. And so, you know, our first line of code was never even written before we actually had users. And so we had sellers, we had channel managers from all these different companies actually come in and view our first wireframes before we even wrote a line of code. Wow. So, you know, when you're building a new software in a completely new industry, it is just like a brush on a canvas. And, you know, being someone that had carried a bag before, had worked with partners, I knew that these types of users, they don't want to be stuck in a technology. They just want to know, where's the revenue, and then let me get to building relationships. So, you know, PartnerTap is always building features that are going to be delivering revenue, period. And this is not a solution that was built, you know, by a bunch of, you know, developers that saw this in the market. This was something where, you know, one of my co-founders, she was in sales leadership for many years, worked in channel. You know, we're always so thoughtful about the users on our platform. And that's why, you know, we recently delivered a new feature, which was opportunity sharing, pipeline sharing, because that's another spreadsheet game. You know, we have deal registrations, but updating those deal registrations is another spreadsheet game that these companies are playing. So it's so much easier for me to just download all of the accounts in my CRM, the pipeline in my CRM, and just hand it over to a leader at a vendor and go, here's the updates on the deal regs for now. Here's the status. Forecast this, don't forecast that. So that activity is also now automated inside of PartnerTap, because it is a mapping exercise.
Yeah, sure. So okay, so we, you know, as a global body, should we say, of people that are involved in channel, and people, you know, all of us in channel. Obviously, we're, you know, the ecosystem movement, the partnerships movement is, you know, has gathered tremendous momentum and acceleration over the last couple of years. However, that said, there are still a lot of people still playing catch up, still kind of working out how it's going to go. Are we moving through, you know, dipping our toe in the water? Let's go hybrid first. Let's see how we kind of get on, because there's a mentality shift, right? Do you see questions come out around trust, around confidence, around conflict? Because obviously conflict is huge in channel, right? You know, and mm-hmm. My understanding is salespeople can be quite protective over what mm-hmm. over what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So how do you kind of respond to those types of questions?
So trust is the number one thing in any partnership. I mean, when we talk about, first of all, if you don't trust your partner, you're never going to data share with them. You're never going to provide a spreadsheet. And that's, and so all that means is that there's a lot of work to be done before you get to the point of true acceleration with this partner. And it could also mean that they're not the right partner. So we're always trying to assess who is the right partner. And if I have a vast ecosystem of partners, and I've got some partners that are data sharing with me and some that aren't, who do you think I'm going to work with more? Right. There's some companies, and there's, you know, with certain partners, they will share, and with certain partners, they won't share. That's just the way it is. And that's the way it always has been. But the one way that you can really see if a partner trusts you is what they're going to share with you. So, you know, our company has been around for 5 years. We data share with some partners, and some partners are just not there yet. And it just tells me that, hey, we have a lot of work to do with this partnership.
There's probably a mindset shift, isn't there, in terms of, you know, being quite protective, keeping it all in, making sure that nobody goes out stealing our opportunities, stealing our customers. And then actually what we're talking about now is that perception is changing, where that mindset is changing, you know, that better together type mentality of the ecosystem movement that we're experiencing much more. And we only have to listen to Jay or to Alan or to Jared and to some of the other guys that are really, really flying this flag at the moment to know that better, bigger opportunities and success lies within that working together mentality. Is that something that you're seeing?
Yes,
your customers report back on, for example.
So I think in traditional channel-led companies, what we are seeing, it's very interesting, is there's starting to be a shift in some of these large organizations where they want to prevent channel conflict. And some of the things they're doing is they're completely changing their compensation structure. So they are compensating the direct side and the channel side. Because if our channel team is in a deal and our direct team is in a deal and we're competing against each other, well, the channel team is just going to go, that partner is now just going to go get another vendor and bring them into the opportunity. So isn't a better together story where we don't compete with the channel side and we bring them together? Oftentimes the channel can have such a tighter relationship, and the vendors are really starting to see that, where the partner is coming in, they are the trusted advisor. And if they don't go on this better together story, then that trusted advisor is just going to bring my competitor in, even if it's more money, right? They have that relationship and they can convince their customer who they've been have been working with for many, many years that this is the right direction. So we've seen some interesting things with some customers where, you know, their partners are actually sharing pipeline early, just flagging that, hey, we're in a deal. And the channel team can now see that their direct side is also in a deal, and bringing those teams together because the compensation is there. So it is it's a different mind shift for an organization. The comp structure changes, but I think what we'll see is that the companies and vendors that are going in this direction are actually going to win more than they would have in the past. So spending a little bit extra to earn that business is just creating a better relationship for their channel, better relationship for the end customer, and the lifetime values there.
Because, and that's really interesting you say that, because actually, you and I both obviously know and listen to and converse with Jay McBain, and he says, doesn't he, at the moment that any end customer is probably looking at dealing with up to, if not more than, 7 individual partners by the time they've done the deal, right? So, it kind of stands to reason, doesn't it, that it's better to have the knowledge of who those 7 partners are if you are one of those 7 partners than to not have. And to do that early, surely together, gives you a better opportunity to actually do the deal than not knowing who else you're working with.
Right. No, I mean, deals now are much more complicated. We have vendors moving into more of a, SaaS model. And so that is causing definitely more partners than even before. And these partners actually are coming together in to create solutions for the customer. And these large vendors have this vast ecosystem of partners, and the vendors that really can leverage and harness that ecosystem to collaborate and work together on the behalf of the vendor are going to win in the end. But it's very difficult orchestration on spreadsheets and
exactly
manually. So it's impossible.
It just is. Over the next few years, who's going to be driving the acceleration of the uptake of this mapping automation? Is it going to be the demand from the partners to need and want to work with more partners and to understand more about the white space in terms of the accounts that could be working together? Or is it going to be the vendors offering up the opportunity of sharing?
Well, I believe that it's really the vendor that leads the charge. The data set over there is the largest, and the partner's data set is smaller, but their data set is absolutely gold. So I think that the vendor is definitely going to lead the charge. That's my belief on this.
Yeah.
I don't think that this is a bottoms up market. It's more of a top down.
Yeah.
You see, like if you look at cloud vendors, for instance, you see, I'm not amazed at what Microsoft has been able to do with their ecosystem. I mean, they had all of the partners. We, years ago said that, nobody could catch AWS. But I mean, look what that vendor did to mobilize their ecosystem of partners.
Yeah, exactly.
And, has really given AWS a run. And we're seeing Google start to do that. So I definitely think it's vendor led rather than partner led, but there's got to be a lot in it for the partner to do this. And so we've seen some interesting things with different vendors on how they're mobilizing their partners.
Well, I think that's it, isn't it? Because it's the it's the vendors that are typically ahead in terms of thinking, in terms of innovation, in terms of those things, and at the same time they've got to engage, and they've got to get that message across to their partners and the right subset of partners, that some are going to be quick, some are going to take their time, to, you know, to adopt and to uptake what is potentially, you know, not a new way of thinking, but a new way of responding to that thinking, right? Because we're talking right now about doing it in one place, you know, losing the spreadsheet. Some people can be really attached to spreadsheets, right? And yet we've got something here and now that can provide very definite solution to the things that we've been causing us trouble for well, what probably seems like decades. You know, and I think right. It's, you know, and therefore it will be those partners that pick it up, because they, as you say, you know, they do have the gold, they do have the direct access to the customers, the prospects, hence the traditional pyramid type shape, you know, channel model. So specifically then, let's get into PartnerTap just as we finish off for the last few minutes. So PartnerTap, we just talked a little bit about that, where it came from, the whole idea behind it, and everything that it solves. Have you got any, maybe, so we talked about the kind of theory of it and all of that, have you got any specific examples maybe recently where all of this has, you know, been brought to life or has become reality for any of your clients?
We do have a case study we are releasing this week, okay, which is very exciting. There is a company called LastPass who is really making a shift from a direct side business into more of a partner-led or channel-led business. Okay. And, you know, they did data mapping exercises with one of the largest national resellers, and they were able to find 15,000. It was over 15,000 opportunities in just one exercise. And so then they were able to justify hiring an entire BDR team. Right. But if you can think about how much data had to go into this whole exercise to come out with 15,000 opportunities, it's just something you really could not accomplish manually.
How would that have ever been done manually by spreadsheets? Right. Right. And then just for example purposes, if you can, how long did that take in PartnerTap?
Oh, like seconds. So... right. They, you know, it's like, here's where you need to go. And so, yeah, this woman was pretty incredible. She took this data and, you know, created the business case and said, hey, we need to hire a BDR team. We need to be working with this partner. And it's approved now. Great.
Yeah, that is great. I mean, understatement, right? I mean, that's pretty phenomenal, I'd say. You know, amazing success story. And I've no doubt there are probably plenty more, but, you know, that one being very recent. In fact, actually, maybe we'll wait until it does go public in case we get the scoop. That's not why we're here. That's not why we're here. Look, Cassandra, I don't think I could have enjoyed this more. This has been fascinating. I've learned a lot personally, you know, and I've enjoyed it thoroughly. So, is there anything else that you'd like to leave us with, the viewers, the listeners, you know, around data mapping, around specifically PartnerTap? Of course, you're very, very welcome to give yourself a plug and a promote. How do people get in touch with you? Website address, and you know, leave us with some gold that we can follow up on.
So the gold that I would leave anybody with is, you know, if your partners aren't sharing data with you today, they're sharing data with someone else. And so it just means that if you haven't asked for data, then they're not gonna share. Yeah. But you should know if the partner is willing to share, because it really puts you in this point of, where am I on the trust meter with this partner, and how much more, you know, relationship building and trust building do I need to do? And then the last thing I'll say is, you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm pretty active there. And PartnerTap.com is our address.
I mean, what a great way to finish. If partners aren't sharing with you, they are probably sharing with somebody else. Amazing. What a great thing. Cassandra, that was fantastic. Thank you ever so much for taking the time to speak to us. Another great edition of the Channel Drop-In with me, Glenn Robertson, Pure Channels, the Channel Agency, and today's wonderful guest, Cassandra Golston, CEO and founder of PartnerTap at partnertap.com.